Welcome to Small Business Insights, where back office conversations give us insight to what's really going on. Is it grit or luck that gives a small business owner an advantage? Let's find out. I'm your host, Laura Fisher. All right, welcome today. I have a special guest. Her name is Catherine Cheng from Houston Event Planning. She's a professional event planner here in Houston and across the country. Catherine, hello.
Hi, everyone. Hi.
So I've got her in the studio. We've been talking prior to the show. She does all kinds of events. She does weddings, corporate events, proms, you name it. So, Catherine, I'm sure this is something most of my listeners haven't really thought about how it happens, but when they go to an event that's just executed beautifully, they're like, wow. So tell us a little bit about your industry and you and how you got into it.
Well, industry is huge because there's always a reason to celebrate. And it touches everyone, no matter if it's a birthday party or a corporate event or a holiday party. Everyone loves to celebrate and be with people. As for how I started, this is a very long story. I started over 2003, over 20 years ago.
Oh, my.
And then at that time, I was very fortunate to work for a nonprofit that did a lot of special events and was very involved in the school districts and things like that. And I fell in love with doing events.
So that's how you got started.
Yes, definitely.
So you were, so is that what you did for that nonprofit, all their special events and everything?
Well, we actually did scholarships, special events. I was actually an education manager for the area, and I loved it. But I met this handsome man and married him. And then actually, I became a stay-at-home mom for a little bit because we just had a homemade family. So during that time is how I kind of came up with the idea for this business because I wanted to make some money to take the kids to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to have a little bit what the other kids had. So that's how the business kind of started, with a little bit of investment, a little bit of luck. It started out of a garage. And because I was a professional fundraiser, I saw a lot of casino parties.
Right, yeah.
You know how they have sponsorships for casino parties and things like that. And I fell in love with the fun aspect of it. So, of course, being a new bride that I am, I was very convincing. I told my husband, new husband, can I borrow $25,000 to start a business? And he said, no, you cannot take it to Vegas and bet it on black or red. You need to come to reality. And I'm like, no, I got a business plan. I know exactly what I wanted to do and how much I need to make enough to go to Disneyland and take the kids and help out with the bills. So I did invest the $25,000, plus I learned how to create a business loan for another $25,000. Bought equipment in Las Vegas and started the business in 2003.
So you were going to have the Vegas parties here in Houston?
Exactly.
So you were having to buy equipment, mm-hmm. inventory to have the tables, the slot machines, all that kind of thing?
Exactly. And we started with blackjack, roulette, and craps and things like that because I realized there was a market for it in the very beginning. But being a stay-at-home mom, who are you going to market to, right?
Right.
So I would go to grocery stores and start talking to other people and kind of get to know what they're doing. Funny thing, I actually met a couple people that worked at Morrison Homes, worked for Shell, and actually those were my first clients.
Who knew?
In a grocery store.
Right.
So we started that in the very beginning, and I told my husband, give me some time to make the difference, the money back. But in less than 6 months, I not only made the money back, but I made enough to take the kids to Disneyland and supplement the income for the family.
You sound like a hustler. That didn't just happen.
had to, because you really want to do a little bit more for your kids, you know, and that was a motivation for
me. Well, and we know Disney World's expensive, so you've got to make some money.
It's tough.
So how many children do you have now?
Well, I have one son and one sister that lived with me, so now he's in the Navy. So now no more Disneyland.
Right. Well, not yet. Now you can have grandkids soon.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So maybe it'll repeat itself.
So you started off out of your home. So you probably put all your equipment in your garage. Mm-hmm. Is that right? So how did you grow from there?
Well, from there, my first staff members were actually my friends because we did events in the beginning. In less than 2 years, we actually grew really fast. So in less than 2 years, we did over $300,000 just out of our garage. That's eventually great. We realized that we need to get out of our garage because we don't want strangers in our house.
Right.
Of course. So then we had an office building that we rented out for a little bit. And then we ended up buying an office condo so we can actually house everything else. But then the...
You must have had some steady income to make a commitment like that.
Yes. The good thing about what we do is we actually sell the events ahead of time, so there's always a deposit.
Okay.
So that way we could constantly grow.
Right.
Because with the deposits, we're able to add more equipment. Because
right.
10 units is nothing. Right now we have over 300. We had to constantly add to it in order to service the area. And at
10,
that,
you said?
10 units, 10 casino tables.
Oh, okay.
So now we have 300.
Oh, my gosh.
So
the storage for that is...
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And are the weekends are the time when you're doing most of these events?
Yes. So weekends, evenings, holidays is our prime market.
Okay.
But this year seems to be busy the entire year round. We don't know what's going on.
I think people are making up for lost time.
I think so too. Everybody's ready to gather and have fun. I think that's the biggest thing. And then we did really well. So we expanded again. Because instead of just doing casino parties, we end up doing event planning. And then we just, clients kept back. So you did a good job here. Why not plan our office event? Why not plan a corporate event?
And that takes a whole nother set of inventory.
Yes.
What, decorations, tables, you bring it all?
Yes. So what happened was we started with only 10 units of casino, and now we have a 20,000 square foot warehouse, tables, chairs, linen, ping pong table. I don't know why we have so many things in the warehouse now.
Wow.
So to help kind of put the event together. So we just quickly kept saying yes, and then we kept expanding our inventory and services.
Well, and I love your name. It's so simple. Houston Event Planning. So that's perfect for SEO, you know.
Exactly.
They'll find you. So you've been in this business how long?
Since 2003 is when the company started. But
almost 20 years.
Yes, it's been quite some time.
So you must have a lot of repeat business.
I do. I have a lot of customers that have been with me more than a decade. So much that after they got married, you know, their little flower girl came back and asked me, you know, to do their wedding. I have corporate accounts that have been with me, since they opened.
So let's talk about your business. So you do have corporate. So let's talk about the corporate side because we've got small businesses here. So when do corporations call you for events?
When they first start on their grand opening. That mm-hmm. seems to be the most I've gotten a lot during our career. Hospitals, for example, the Heist Hospital just did their grand opening recently and they just reopened. Let's see, Five Star Dentistry. You know, we did some of their grand openings as well. United is one of our big clients. They did the 609 Main Street, their building there, opening, and also the new terminal, C-North, a couple of years ago.
Those are big events.
Oh, those are so much fun.
So what, when you've got a small business, let's just say me, and I'm opening a new business, what do you think of? You go, oh, she needs to do this and this and that. What kind of things do people need to think about when they want to have a grand opening celebration? What makes a good one?
So first you have to look at your target market. Are you trying to find people in your community or in your area to promote? Something that's very visible is always really good, so you can get the drive-through traffic.
Okay.
So depending on what type of business, if you do have you're in a shopping center and you have a parking lot area, it's good to have bouncy, something that's very colorful, very visible, where people will be drawn just
to go, what's going on?
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't mean to go there, but I'm going to stop by anyways.
Right.
Those kind of things really help a lot. The more private events, like inside for your staff, your new staff that you're bringing in, I suggest a lot of meals, a lot of food, a lot of drink, because it keeps people motivated, interested. Keep them inspired to come work into this new building that they're moving into.
Right. Okay. So I'm sure there's all kinds of budgets. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. So do you do more than just a day? Do you help them with any, do you work with or do you help them with their marketing for that event? How involved are you getting? Or is it just planning the facility for that day?
So we generally do the logistics side.
Okay.
Logistics, vendor coordination, that part. If they need marketing, I always suggest a different specialty or a company that does just PR.
Okay.
Because I realize that we're really good at event planning and logistics.
Right.
But PR
is stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane, and you know what you're good at and you know what you're not.
Right.
So a lot of times my clients just want to deal with us, but they have so many needs that they need. So I tell them, for example, you have a house. You don't want the electrician to do your plumbing, do you?
Right.
You don't. So let me do what I'm good at, and let me suggest you a great plumber
right.
that he knows his work. Those awesome. Kind of things.
So what kind of budgets are people, they come to you with? Do they come with a budget or they go, I don't really know, and what's it going to cost me? I'm sure you get all kinds.
Yes. this is the challenge with a lot of people. My private events tend not to be realistic because they haven't, for people that are doing weddings, it's their first wedding.
Right.
They don't know how much everything cost. But the average per person is about $150 a person. They don't realize that.
No. I mean, what does that mean? $150. What's that include?
So most of the time, $150 average is your food, your drink, your decor, your decoration, your venue, the little trinket that you get on the table. That's how much on average a person spends for one person that's going to the wedding.
Okay.
So most of the bride and grooms, they're thinking, oh yeah, I can get a $20 meal, a $30 meal, and that's it.
They're not thinking about the facility, where they're going to sit, what it's going to look like.
Chairs, chair covers, the florals, those kind of things. And sometimes I have to bring them back to reality and say, you know, you bought your fiance a dozen of roses. How much did that cost you? Mm-hmm. And reimagine that as a centerpiece.
Right.
And you need 20 of these because you have 200 people. They're like, oh, that's a lot of money.
Right.
And a lot of times I don't realize that $1 is a huge difference when you have 200 people.
Yeah.
That $1 is $200 plus tax, plus service, adds up.
Right. So same thing, is that how you start to quote things? You say how many people are coming and you kind of give them like a budgetary number? Is that how you help communicate and educate your customers?
Yeah, so what I generally tell them is, I always ask them, do you have a budget first?
Right.
What it is and how many people you want to serve. And from there, I divide it out. If they say I have $10,000 and I have 100 people, I just divide out. This is what we need to stay under. Then I tell them, be realistic and give me your top five goals of your event. And we're going to try to hit those five. Mm-hmm. And everything else is extra is foof. We're not going to focus on it at all. Because you can't have everything. Even if you had $1 million, because I've done $1 million event before, you can't have it all.
Have it all for $1 million?
Sorry. No, there's something we had to cut out of the budget because of that. I'm telling you.
Who spends $1 million? Is that like your corporate United Airlines?
Corporate events tend to be able to spend more money.
Wow.
Because
they've got signage. They've got probably all kinds of printing and everything involved.
Exactly. Branding, things like that. For example, when I was doing the United Airlines event, the terminal, they were still building that terminal. Mm. It was an active construction zone. So last minute, we had to make sure there was power. And so we had to drop a generator on the tarmac. We had to get
You had to think permits. Of all these things?
Yeah.
That's your logistics.
Yes. And that's where I learned a lot about electricity, too.
Yeah.
Because I had 20 eyes of electricians looking at me go, you know, you're just doing a party, right? I'm like, but I need power. I need toilets. I don't know what you're talking about. Make it happen. So it's very exciting. We learned a lot, I think, when we were transitioning for events and when we had to build our building, because Signature Manor was built from ground up.
Signature Manor?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, that is your event building, right?
Correct.
People rent it?
Yes.
For special events, everything. Tell me the kind of events they rent it for.
So a lot of people, for school district, they rent it for like the proms, the teachers.
It must be big.
Yes, we can hold up to 1,000 people for theater style, and then we can hold about 500 for banquet style. So we actually built it from ground up. And what we learned is event plan logistics and construction logistics, it's very similar. You have a timeline, you have a budget, you have a whole bunch of vendors that you need to deal with, and you need permits.
Yeah.
So from that experience of doing event planning in the beginning while we're moving over was a big help. Because at that time, I was only 20-something. I think it was less than 26, 20, 27. And it was a challenging thing to do at that time.
Right.
That was in 2007, right before the financial.
Yeah.
It was horrible. bad timing.
Yeah.
That's when I learned about and business is not only about luck, but it's also about timing.
Yes. Pivoting.
Very yes. fast.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. And Catherine, I want to talk more about that because your business was definitely impacted by COVID. And I'm sure you've had to pivot. So you got some stories for me?
Oh, several.
All right. All right. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Thank you for listening to Small Business Insights. Today's show is sponsored by Keffi Spaces, new location in Houston. Air-conditioned warehouse units with loading docks, carrier services, fulfillment, break room, free Wi-Fi. The perfect place to grow your e-commerce business. Keffi Spaces, located in the Design District of Houston. And now back to Small Business Insights.
All right, we're back with Catherine Chang from, did I say your name right?
Yes.
All right, good. From Houston Event Planning. And boy, you've had to pivot. Here in Houston, we've had Harvey. You went through that.
Oh, yes.
And we've had COVID. And well, recession here in Houston. We have that off and on because we're in the oil and gas industry. Mm-hmm. And then you also mentioned the freeze. Everybody knows about the Texas freeze. So let's just talk about how you've had to pivot. And which part do you want to talk about? You want to talk about COVID? And because that seems to be where people couldn't gather anymore.
Yeah.
But how did you maintain? Well, first off, you have a building. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have a mortgage to pay, whether people come in or not. Mm-hmm. So how did you survive? I'm sure a lot of event planners did not survive. I know florists didn't survive. A lot of small businesses did not survive, but yet you're still here. I don't know how surviving you're doing. You're probably still, I don't know, like most of us, just feel like we're a little underwater, but hopeful.
Yeah.
So tell us, how did you get through this? And tell us a little bit more about that.
So during that closure month was actually the roughest for all of us because it was more than just financial. It was dealing with emotions of a lot of brides, companies, everybody, because their wedding's coming up.
Right.
You know, and they don't know if the people that are coming in from the country, the state, is able to come.
I bet anybody listening knows of some family with a bride that had to deal with this.
Exactly. Right? And the second panic was, you know, are we going to get our money back? Is this going to happen? That's going to happen. So we called all our clients and said, okay, we don't know what the governor's going to say. We don't know what's going to happen. But if he does close down the area, close down the time, can't do this, whatever the restrictions are, we'll postpone it, no additional cost, no additional anything. We'll just pick another date. We'll just redo all your vendors. You don't have to worry about anything else.
So just you are still holding on to the deposits. So that yes. helped you, but you're also reassuring them, I'm going to take care of you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because we've been in business so long prior to COVID, when we're profitable every year, we always have a rainy day fund.
That's
awesome. We always have a just in case. You don't spend to the last penny. That's crazy. So we always had a reserve. On top of that, we always made sure we had a huge line of credit just in case. Because we've been through tropical storms in Houston. I'm sure everybody has multiple times. So you have to be able to have that just in case pivot point, big stack of money to be able to handle things, basically. Because 2008 was the financial first. We had several hurricanes, tropical storms, and Harvey. So COVID, we already had something helped. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they were okay. So we tried to afford.
Well, kudos to you. That is good business discipline.
And we want to make sure we're there.
Yeah, very
That's
good.
A big thing. Because in the past years, we've seen a lot of venues go underwater. Mm-hmm. And then that wasn't even because of COVID or disaster. It was bad financial management. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to be part of that. We wanted to make sure we're solid.
Right.
So once we called all our clients, we made sure that we had a plan of action as much as we could. During that time, the closure, all our employees stayed home. But between us, the investors, and everybody else, we actually paid all our employees. We laid off zero. We paid all our staff, even though there was no events, nothing going on. We kept them through the whole thing.
Wow.
Because our philosophy was if we kept our employees, we took care of them, at the end, when we come back, we'll be just as strong and they'll be just as dedicated to us.
Well, I'm sure being in the service industry you are, you've probably had trained up your employees to be pretty efficient.
Yes.
And to lose them would cost you more in retraining, and they're your reputation.
Exactly. They're the reason why we have an A-plus rating with a BBB. They're the reason why we get all these awards. And we don't want to lose anyone. Plus, we're very vested. When COVID happened, I remember when the shutdown for the whole month, a lot of people were just depressed, sad, because you couldn't be with people.
Right.
But for a business owner, it was harder on us, I think, because it's not a...
it was doom and gloom. Doom and gloom on TV all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
It was... Money was going out. You need to pay your mortgage. Everything had to happen. But the people that are there with you, your staff members that are in day out, day in and day out, late at night, you worry about them and their families too.
Right.
So I think at one point I was sitting in my house in a little corner and I started crying. And my husband says, "What's wrong with you?" And I was like, "Well, my biggest problem is this COVID thing. I want to make sure my staff was okay. I want to make sure they had enough money. I want to make sure they had food. I want to make sure they had masks. I wonder if they have..." And my husband stopped and go, "You're worried about what? You can't get out of the house. You can't do this. You can't do that." So, and I was like, "Well, I think we have toilet paper in the office." And remember the toilet paper debacle, yes, and all this stuff? We had cases of that in the venue because, you know, for events, you need toilet paper. And I stopped and he laughed at me. And I said, "No, we need to make sure that if they need toilet paper, that we can give them toilet paper. We have food too. Why don't we share with them?" And that's what we did, because we felt the weight of having to take care of everybody, not just the business, but the people in the business, because they're not just a number to us. They're real people,
right,
you know, with families. And then our clients, you know, their worries. I would talk to them until midnight, 1 o'clock, because they're concerned about their events that are upcoming.
And trying to come up with options, and your creativity, I'm sure, was definitely stretched.
Yes, we had to figure quite a bit of things too. And most companies will tell you, "I'm only open 10 to 5 and I'm done talking to you." But when you're a panic bride with money on the line and this is your special day, I don't care what time it is. I even talk to them at 2 o'clock in the morning, because just as stressed as they are, they need an outlet to feel that you are going to be there. You didn't just take their money and run.
I'm sure you've got some stories for another time of all the, what do they call those brides that are difficult? What are they?
Bridezillas.
Yes. I bet you've met more than a few.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah, you can't see her, but she's like, "Oh yeah," with her eyes. Definitely. So you recovered. You found it. So we're recording this in October 2022. And so this year has been much better, I'm sure.
It has. This past year actually been really good. Right after we could start having events, we started booking quite a bit, because after a year and a half, 2 years of COVID, most of the brides are like, or the engaged couples, "You either marry me or find somebody else."
Right.
So I've been waiting for 2 years, right? So you'll see a lot of that. We even actually got featured in one of the TV shows called Marry Me Now.
Really?
On OWN TV. We're on season 1, episode, I think, 4 and 5, where the brides actually went to the groom and the guys and said, "Hey, marry me now." And they actually had to marry them on the same day.
Oh, my goodness.
So if you watch those episodes, it's pretty exciting.
Now, what was your role in those episodes?
It's actually at our venue. So we did some decor, and they used our bridal suite, and they actually had their wedding on site. So that was very exciting, because it really was so realistic to the times where people marry me now or not, you know,
right,
because we've been together.
Wow.
So that was fun.
So let's talk a little bit more about how you, you're doing business. So you have your own physical place.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you rent that out. That's a source of revenue. You go to other places and do events. So
yes,
you set that up. And I'm sure you have all kinds of inventory. How do you keep track of your inventory and not rebuy things that you already have? I'm just smiling because I'm thinking that would happen. Does that happen?
Actually, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We have 20,000 square foot. Just imagine your garage at
home. No, 20,000 is huge.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. And finding where everything is and making sure it's okay.
Where you go, and we need to find those glass vases. How do you find those glass vases? And you go, what size, right?
Exactly. How tall was the diameter? And these are... Yeah. So I have an amazing staff. What they do is they sort by sizes, and they actually have a vase room to answer that one. Okay. But dishes, linens, and everything else, it's tough because linens, after 3 or 4 usage, you can't use it again.
Right.
Because you wash it so much. So for us to keep inventory of what's damaged, what's clean, what is out, it's a big feat, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So do you have a warehouse manager?
We have an operations manager. Right. She handles all the logistics and all the inventory on top of the floral side, because we do flowers as well for centerpieces.
Like fresh flowers?
Mm-hmm. Fresh flowers, silk flowers.
So you have your own florist?
I have a designer on site that does that for us.
So that you get all the product brought to you.
Yes.
And then you do the arrangements there.
Mm-hmm.
That would save you money.
It does. Our big thing is we wanted to be a one-stop shop so badly. We wanted to make sure that we didn't have to depend on too many other people to have the basics, the core
right
of the party. So that's why.
So does that include catering?
We have a 3,500 square foot commercial kitchen.
Really?
That's larger than most restaurants and hotels. We can serve up to 1,000 people out of that kitchen.
Wow. That's huge.
Yes,
that's we could absolutely, do a lot. I need to come check it out.
Yes, you should. It's huge. Because
so tell us what's the name of that facility? That's called your Signature Manor?
Yes, we're called Signature Manor. We're off of Highway 6 and Bellow Boulevard. We are a two-story building that has lounges upstairs and then the ballroom downstairs. We do have a showroom and warehouse in the back area, which is our design center.
And plenty of parking for guests?
Yes, over 200 parking spots around the way. So it's on a four-acre lot as well. We were actually built in 2007, so everything's ADA compliant and everything. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So tell us how to reach you. So when we are ready for our events.
Okay. You can reach us at our main number, which is 713-541-1000.
And I'll put those in the show notes in case you're driving.
Perfect. Or you can look us up at HoustonEventPlanning.com or SignatureManor.com, either one. And we are generally very fast on our responses.
That's awesome. I know you've got great reviews. You got a great reputation. And sounds like it's a good investment that you would take care of me if I gave you my event.
Definitely.
I can tell by your personality and just the way you care. You definitely care about your employees. So I know you'd care about me as your customer. Mm-hmm. And that I'm sure that is reflected in your service level and your values.
Definitely. And we do a lot with our community as well, from school districts to providing scholarships to sponsoring the Fort Bend CTE school. We actually do some stuff over there as well. And
So if you're a nonprofit, they should give you a call just to say, hey, this is what I've got. Maybe you can be creative and come up with some solutions for them.
Exactly. Because in our company, we believe in giving back. So we give over 20% of our net profits to supporting different projects, community, schools, students, because we want to make sure that what we do have purpose.
That goodwill, I'm sure, comes back to you.
Definitely, definitely.
That's good. That's a good, I mean, it's a good practice, but it's also a good business model, that goodwill.
Definitely.
You know, like here at this place, we'll let nonprofits or neighborhood groups use our meeting rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just for goodwill. But of course they come, they experience, and they go, oh, it's a nice place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they come back and they talk, and then you have new business.
Yeah. Well, Catherine, it's been a joy, and I hope that I'll have some events that I can call you for, because I got a feeling you would just take really good care of me and any of my listeners.
Definitely. And thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. So you want to close the show? Until next time.
You better be up to something.
All right. There you go. All right. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on Small Business Insights. Make sure you visit our website at fisherpodcast.com, where you can follow the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. so you'll never miss a show. If you enjoyed and found value in today's episode, we'd appreciate a rating and review on iTunes, or simply share it with a friend. That would help us out too. Make sure you tune in next week for our next episode. Until then, you better be up to something.